ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37 make that, 38 plus years now of being the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion. And get this, I'm educated, so I was an award-winning boxing writer as well. So I majored in journalism, high school editor of the newspaper, that kind of good stuff. Wrote in college, wrote for a couple newspapers, wrote for Essence Magazine, things like that, Boxing Monthly. But the bottom line is, I can write a little bit, I can talk a little bit, but guess what? I've always found out the average fan has got a different insight to the sport of boxing than I do. So I open up the toll-free at the top of each hour, and I say, if you want to win part, you can. So here is the listener line, the number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, Raleigh Romero's in trouble. Raleigh's a good talker, no doubt about that. I mean, I thought Raleigh was out of his mind, some of the crazy stuff he said this week. And we were taking note of the fact he was saying stuff that was so off the wall, it was sort of semi-entertaining. And then it comes up with the alleged sexual assault charges, so maybe Raleigh's in trouble, maybe he isn't. Bottom line is, I'm hoping that he gets to fight unless he is convicted of a crime, or the allegations are so serious that you can't deny it, something like that. But if it's a he said, she said type of thing, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. Just me being a male, I guess. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Watching the man with the fast feet. Got the hippest friends in the fat boogaloo. The big old bag of tricks down to the nightclub.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Tower of Power, complete horn section. Brent Barr is on congas. Man, that was back in the day, of course. Tower of Power, back 1973. This time it's real. My buddy Lenny Williams on lead. Of course, Lenny and I still talk. Lenny's still performing. Tower of Power still performing. Check them both out. LennyWilliams.com or TowerofPower.com. They are performing separately. Anyway, I have long campaigned for a division between heavyweight and cruiserweight. The reason why I have is that you get caught in between weight classes and you like have no chance. You just absolutely have no chance in combat sports because either you're going to be at a disadvantage or you're going to be, that's basically where it's at. You're going to be at a disadvantage because you're going to be fighting at a weight class in which you're like, guys are bigger than you. It just are. I mean, you know, the fact that guys weigh 250, 260 pounds now, 270 pounds, Tyson Fury 277 in his last fight. You know, that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight. So if you got a guy that's like 225 pounds, is it fair for a guy 220 to take on a guy that's 50 pounds heavier than him? Come on. I mean, why do we have these weight divisions to begin with? I mean, we got 105, 108. 112, 115, 118, 122, 126, 130, 135, 140, 147, 154, 160, 168, 175, cruiserweight, and of course, heavyweight, bridgeweight, the new division now by the WBC bridgeweight. That's going to be that's what it's called, the 224 pound division. And then they got the heavyweight division. So those are the divisions of boxing. Now, why do they have weight divisions? Because size matters in two things. Here we go. Pornography and combat sports, okay? This is combat sports. So I don't think anybody should step into an athletic event with a 40 or 50 pound weight advantage. Not even if you're fat ass Andy Ruiz. Or Andy Reese, as Hector likes to call him. But the bottom line is, not even if you're fat old Andy Ruiz, you shouldn't come in there with a 40 or 50 pound weight advantage. I think that fighters should be reasonably, like, you know, relatively the same size. You know what I mean? Heavyweight champion of the world, should he be like 19 feet tall? And 600 pounds or something like that. I mean, you get a guy that big, well, come on. There's not going to be no heavyweight boxing. It'd just be the one guy. So the fact that they've got now, you know, Anthony Joshua, he's got eliminated from the heavyweight picture. Yes, he's eliminated. Oleg Usyk has eliminated him because they will fight again, and Oleg will light him up again, just like the White House Christmas tree that he did the first time. I'm telling you, this wasn't a tough fight. This was one of the easier fights of Oleg Usyk's career. Yeah, he took a few bumps and a few bruises, but he was willing to commit himself. See, you've got to be able to gamble in this sport, in this business. It's a business and a sport, probably a business first. But you've got to gamble in this. Ray Leonard told me that in 1989. What makes for a great fighter? We're kicking around in a hot tub looking at our feet. And he said, the willingness to gamble, Pedro. You got to be willing to gamble. You got to be willing to go for it, this and that. You know, and I think he's right because, you know, had I taken my opponents to the point where maybe I just wanted to box instead of just like gamble and go for it, I probably wouldn't have done that well. I wasn't the greatest thinking boxer in the world. I just wasn't. I was more like, I could jab and brute force my win and then try to work you out and beat you up. That's what I wanted to do. Of course, people like Hector never threw a punch without thinking about it beforehand. So I don't get it. You know what I mean? Those guys are like proficient boxers. I'm a proficient tough guy. I think that's what it is. Anyway, Oscar Rivas. Give Oscar Rivas props. 28-1. I think he lost that one fight. Who was it? To Dillian White? He lost to Dillian White. Of course, that was by points. But he acquitted himself well, but he was too small. He was too small in that fight, no doubt about that. So this new division makes for a great, great division, no doubt about that. As far as guys that sort of are too small for heavyweight and too big for cruiserweight, 224 pounds. This guy, Ryan Rezaki, though, he only weighed in 203 pounds. He's a former cruiserweight. He only put on 3 pounds over the weight limit. He sort of looked a little bit outsized. He came in 13-0. Good record, no doubt about that. But Rivas is the real deal as far as his bridgeweight division is concerned. 115-112, 116-11, and 115-112. Those are pretty good points when no doubt about that. Rivas was deducted a point in round 12 for a low blow. A Cuban throwing a low blow? You got to be kidding me. Anyway, the bottom line is this guy looks like he can fight. He can fight. As I said, that one loss to Dillian White. Speaking of Dillian White, he and Tyson Fury, what does Dillian White have on Barry Hearn? Does he have like Barry Hearn like with hookers or something like that? I mean, Barry Hearn snorting cocaine or passing around the, you know, I don't know. What's he got on Barry Hearn? Because Barry Hearn is dead set on getting this guy title fights. I mean, he will do anything to get this guy title, but absolutely anything. Okay? Not selling, maybe include selling his mother. I kid you not. It's sort of like, Dillian White's got to get a shot. Dillian White's got to get a shot. Over and over and over and over again. Even when Dillian White got lit up like Alexander Povetkin last year, when he got destroyed in 4 rounds, of course, he came back and he beat Povetkin in the rematch, of course. But Povetkin had COVID. I mean, he had COVID and he had to fight a few weeks later. Come on, coincidence? He looked like spit with an H? No, I don't think so. But the bottom line is Dillian White has never impressed me ever, 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 ever. And I think when he and Tyson Fury hook it up, of course, probably going to go at Wembley Stadium. I don't know if Wembley's going to go as far as a full stadium is concerned. Like people, if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, wearing masks and not wearing masks, something like that. But this is Tyson Fury's next fight. No doubt about it. I mean, it's going to go down. It'll probably go down inside the UK. And, of course, that's got to go down inside the UK. Wembley Stadium, probably the site, no doubt about the venue. Now, I'd like to go over for these fights because I got to tell you, you've never been to a fight card until you've been to a fight card. I'm in a big championship fight card in the UK. Wow. I went over. HBO flew me over there for the Prince Nassim Ahmed Vunjani Bungu fight. I think this was in 2001, 2002, somewhere around there, before he got lit up by Barrera and exposed. Talk about Prince Nassim Ahmed. Of course, now he was a 126-pound champion. Now he could be the 261-pound champion if he were to fight. That's how big he is. Anyway, Prince Nassim Ahmed, he fought Vunjani Bungu. It was an event. The Rolling Stones were there. I was in the bathroom. Shared the urinal with Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones. Asked him why he was kissing Puff Daddy's ass. Of course, he was kissing Puff Daddy's ass. Let me tell you about Puff Daddy. Sean Combs, of course, the king of rap or arm, whatever you want. Anyway, bottom line is, he was at the fight, the Hamed fight with Vunjani Bungu. Hamed won inside the distance. And so I went to Hamed's dressing room waiting for Hamed to come out because I'm going to walk with him to the press conference. He was pretty cool. He was really cool with me, really cool with me. So I smelled all this weed. And we're not talking about trash weed. I mean, I know marijuana. And this was some of the best. I said, man, that smells like almost hash. Okay. So anyway, who was smoking it? Puff Daddy, Sean Combs. He was smoking it right outside of his dressing room here in Wembley Stadium. Talk about Prince Nassim Hamed's dressing room. So anyway, I talked with him for a couple seconds back and forth. I had no idea he was Puff Daddy. I didn't even know who Puff Daddy was. I had no idea who Puff Daddy was. But I was wondering why later, when I hooked up with Ron Wood, I was talking to Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones, and we were going into detail on the Stones, and of course he was with Faces and the Rod Stewart band before he came to the Rolling Stones. Of course, he went to the Rolling Stones after Brian Jones sort of drowned in a swimming pool. I believe he was the lead guitarist of the original Rolling Stones guitarist. Anyway, Ron Wood, he's kissing Puff Daddy's ass. I mean, he's following Puff Daddy around like a dog chasing another dog in heat. I was like, this is not cool. The Rolling Stones kissing this guy's ass. Why is he kissing this guy's ass? He kept doing it. So we end up at this post-fight party at some restaurant somewhere in London. Anyway, some nightclub restaurant they converted into a party because Seth Abraham, he was the HBO CEO at the time, the CEO of sports, and he knew how to throw parties. Man. And he had the Rolling Stones there. He had all kinds of celebs there. It was hot. It was rocking and rolling. So I went into the bathroom. I was in the urinal. He's standing in front of the urinal. You imagine what I'm doing. And Ron Wood comes up. So Ron Wood comes up, and he and I are like, side by side. So I said to him, "Hey man, you're a Rolling Stone. Why the hell are you kissing Puff Daddy's ass like that? I mean, you know, why?" He goes, "'Cause he's got the best damn weed, man." I said, "Huh?" Yeah, it was the weed. Puff Daddy had the best weed in London, no doubt about that. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. You can check out Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, and his interactive website at WBCBoxing.com. This is Ring Talk, often imitated, but never duplicated. I'll bring in the instigator herself, Clara Burke, in the next segment, because last week we did a couple segments together, but it was like an insider's conversation. When I listened to it again on the replay, the Sports Byline replay, I realized, you know, not a whole lot of people were getting what we were talking about. We got off on it, but I don't know if the listeners did, so I'm going to try to readdress that in the show. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
This is the theme of my day, my life every day. You ought to be having fun, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. As I mentioned before the break, this young lady was with me recently, but we had such an insider's conversation that I think the only one that got it was me and her. So I'm going to try to go over this one more time. Her name is Clara Burke. She is a boxing activist, per se, manager, promoter. Have you ever been a cut man? What haven't you done?
Actually, I have been a cut man.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it.
See, I knew so, it. So, yeah, prior to boxing, I worked in the operating room, and I trained neurosurgeons how to do new procedures in surgery and in head trauma. So I can do stitches. I can do all that stuff.
Okay, I stumbled in. Every time I open the door with Claire, I never know what's going to come out. Let's talk about some of the dirty aspects of boxing. Are there promoters out there that do not pay boxers?
Absolutely.
Who are they?
Langston King.
And where's he?
A lot of stuff.
Where's Langston King out?
He lives in Tennessee. He started doing shows in Memphis, other areas of Tennessee. Then he moved to, he tried Michigan. He also, I don't think he ever got approved in Ohio. And now he's currently in Florida. Florida is completely aware that he still owes fighters from his last fight. So now, you know, and he didn't pay like the commentator. He didn't pay a lot of people. So what he does is he pays Floyd Mayweather to take pictures with him, and then he promotes that he's friends with Mayweather, that he's doing stuff with Mayweather, so it gives people a comfortable feeling. He offers the fighters more money than they deserve for the fights that they're fighting.
So they're fighting under an illusion.
Exactly. And then after the last fight done. He's already checked out of the hotel. He's gone.
So
he just disappears.
One time as a private investigator, I had a guy in Century City. I'm a private investigator. In Century City, a guy didn't pay me. He owed me like $400, and he owed me for a long time. I was sending him emails, faxes back in the days. Anyway, so I went down there and walked past the secretary one day and walked into his office and sat down. He paid me. I mean, but sometimes you got to get paid that way. But if you're living in Florida or if you're living in Tennessee and you made $300 on a fight, you're supposed to make $300 on a fight, you don't get paid for it, you don't have any money for legal recourse to begin with.
Exactly. And a lot of these guys are afraid that, well, if I complain, they're never going to let me fight again. You have to explain to them, but you don't want to fight for this clown again. You know, so he's one of them. Big time entertainment promoter out of Ohio, but I kind of chased him around the country after he didn't pay on two cards. So anytime he scheduled a fight, I called the commission, sent them all the information, all the bad checks, copies, all that kind of crap. So after a while, now he's doing shows in Dubai. He gave up.
You know, speaking of bad checks, I won't mention the guy's name, but I was working for a magazine in New York City and a newspaper magazine. And they bounced a check on me. So I gave the check. I actually went out to the liquor store and cashed a check at the corner store, right? So they put the check up in the window. You know what I'm saying? Pedro Fernandez bounced this check. And they've got like arrows down in it and the whole nine yards. And they're dogging me. I'm trying to get the check back from the guys. No, Pedro, you bounced the check. You bounced the check. So anyway, needs to say, when I met him in Atlantic City, we settled that score physically. You know, sometimes you have to. Sometimes you just have to, no doubt about that. Now, what about these guys that are picking up guys that never fought before, like Scott Cuddy? Scott Cuddy's never had a professional fight, even though I say he's undefeated. He is undefeated, but he's never had a professional fight. Now, there are many guys like Scott Cuddy that are being picked up across the country in places like Tennessee and brought to Florida to engage in professional boxing, correct?
Correct. Yep. And most of it, I mean, the biggest guy who does this the most, his name is Skip Crumpler, and he's been in boxing for a long time, and he's from a town in North Carolina called Wilson, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look up on BoxRec, which is the official record keeper of boxing, you know, when you put in pro boxers, you want to search for any pro boxers in Wilson, North Carolina, the ones that, you know, I mean, hundreds come up, obviously, which is a lot for a small town. You know what I mean? You don't usually have hundreds of fighters in one small town.
Trying to tell me that in a town with a population of maybe like 800 people, there's like 75 boxers?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like the right ratio, something like that, yeah. So if you look up the records of the people that have, you know, done their debut, let's say since 2018 through 2021, mm-hmm. they have a total of 406 losses, 12 wins for like 42 or 36 fighters. I'm sorry, I got my numbers.
I get the message. I mean, I get the message, no doubt about it. You know what's funny is you mentioned BoxRec is now the official record keeper of boxing. I remember back in the day when they went after BoxRec. I mean, the different boxing record books at the time, Ralph Citro, a couple other guys. In other words, you can't believe anything off the internet. And now, of course, they've wiped those guys out. The Anibal Marimani's, may he rest in peace, but all those record keepers are dead and gone.
Did they wipe them out or did they bribe them out?
No, there was no bribes involved, I don't think. I just think that...
They made a big donation to the ABC the same year that they were voted in.
You know what?
I mean, I'm not saying it was a bribe. I'm just saying, I mean, money did change hands.
You know what, girl? You're so far ahead of me sometimes. Do you get lonesome? Come on, you school me all the time. And I guess Clara Burke is a guest, folks. She's a boxing activist. I don't know where she's based at. Put it this way, she's been parts unknown. We don't want to give away her hometown because, you know, we don't want to cause any more heat, this and that. She's probably already generating. But she is like a neutron bomb. When she comes down on you, I mean, the buildings are still standing, but not much else is still standing. And is that a fair assumption?
I would say so. I mean, you know, I enjoy the promoters that are there trying to do the right thing and, like, go to these shows on the weekends. You know, I'm not looking for everything to be perfect, But when I go somewhere like North Carolina or South Carolina, North Carolina doesn't currently have a commission, so they're not doing fights right now. But North South Carolina, and I see Skip Crumpler pull up with literally eight, you know, of the 10 fights that are on the card. He's got eight of the fighters in his, you know, thing, and you got the A side back in the room getting ready, throwing punches, doing pad work. And then if you walk in the B side room, he's literally showing them how to throw a punch. The last fight that I was at, I think I told you this last time, in South Carolina, one of the fighters was so scared that he literally wet himself. So, I mean, these are people, I mean, they've never put on a pair of gloves before. They are sharing shoes. They share a mouthpiece. They have no idea what they're doing. They come into the ring, like, I mean, wearing jewelry and shirts, and they just don't know. They've never, ever stepped in the ring. But really, the onus comes on the commissions. Like, they're just lazy. Yeah. And I've told them to their face they're lazy. It's not just me talking smack behind the back. I mean, we've had this conversation, and their exact response was, if we didn't allow Skip fighters to come, then we wouldn't have any promotions in South Carolina. Well, maybe you guys shouldn't.
You know, having run the Arizona Boxing Commission into the ground, I decided to do that personally and had some influence over a couple of elections of athletic commission leaders out here in California, one of which was a grave mistake, and I made a mistake, no doubt about that. But I know what it's like to put pressure on officials. What about the attorney generals? I mean, those are the guys who really have the teeth in the states, right?
Right. So, you know, instead of going to the commission, obviously the ABC doesn't really have any, you know, authority over any commission, because in boxing, every state commission's like their own country. So they have their own rules, the only way they do things. So I have filed, I don't want to say a complaint, but I have filed a notice, you know, a concern with the Attorney General of South Carolina. So I'm waiting to hear back.
Who was a longtime senator from Harry Reid? Is that his name, Harry Reid from Nevada?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the guy?
I believe so.
Yeah, well, anyway, he took all that, listen, the Muhammad Ali Boxing Act had all this enforcement in it, all these rigid laws and this and that. He stripped them all because, you know, he hangs out in Las Vegas. He was thinking about the promoters.
Right. And then, you know, and then what did him and McCain said, you know, well, there's going to be another part to it, so we'll just pass this for now, and then we'll put in all the, you know, other stuff later that we took out, all of the enforcement stuff we're going to do separately. But no one ever did it. They never planned on doing it.
You know, Senator John McCain, you know, I exposed all the problems in Arizona, all the scandals, fixed fights, forged medical tests. I went so deep, it was like, yikes, okay? I couldn't get any deeper. What did they do? I went down there and they had to try to have me arrested for standing on a picket line in front of the state capitol. I kid you not. There's some dirty players, baby. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you know what I'm talking about. We're not playing with kids.
No. So what did they do? Have like your wanted picture up everywhere?
No. I was walking a picket line in a suit. I was GQ, suit and tie, the whole 9 yards, 10 o'clock in the morning. Cause you know, I'm doing the picket line early because if you do the picket line after like 11 o'clock in the morning, it's 115 degrees in Phoenix. Okay, so we got,
right.
I got a picket line going against the athletic commission. I got TV cameras out there, the whole 9 yards. And the cops roll up on me and pull guns. They accuse me of robbery. What are you talking about? What am I robbing? Anyway, what? Bottom line is they had to back down. Somebody called them with a phony complaint. And it obviously came from the athletic commission who I was picketing. I mean, who else would call the cops on me but the athletic commission?
Right. I believe it. Because they're scared. I mean, a lot of these guys are appointed by the governor. In fact, South Carolina, the guy who's in charge of the commission in South Carolina, he's never come to a fight. He has no idea.
No.
I don't think he even knows anything about boxing. So he was appointed by the governor. He probably gets, you know, a stipend or whatever, gets paid, and he doesn't care. He doesn't know anything about it.
You know what? I think we got our point across today, young lady. I really want to thank you for your time. And
okay.
We got to do this more, right? We got to do this more. Not every week. We got to do this more often, okay?
Okay. All right.
All the best. One of my heroes, folks, Claire Burke. Well, she is one of my heroes. And boxing needs heroes, no doubt about that. Because, you know, the fighter is the most exploited human being on the planet, probably outside of a hooker. That's just the way it is. And probably the most exploited human being employee on the planet is a boxer or a martial artist. And this is the way it is. Bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More after the break, of course, with Mike Tyson, Chuck Willery, and Robin Gibbons. It's time to play Love Connection on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Right here on Sports Byline.
Hi, welcome back to Love Connection. Told you we'd be back in 2 and 2. Our next guest says she likes her men to be very wealthy. Let's say hello to Robin Gibbons. Hi, Robin.
Hello, Charles.
Don't ever call me Charles, I'll go off. So, Robin, tell us about this wealthy thing.
Chuck, I don't want people thinking that I'm the type of woman who's only interested in the size of a man's wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things that are just as important.
Like what?
Well, like what's in the wallet. Am I right? Thank you.
Okay. Well, Robin, last time you were here, you picked a man to go out with. Now you're back to tell us how it went. Let's say hello to Mike Tyson.
How you doing, Chuck?
Hi there, Mike. How are you?
Well, I gotta say, I'm really ecstatic to be here.
All righty then. Robin, tell us how the date started.
Well, at first I call Michael, and of course things didn't go very well because he's just a boxer from Brooklyn, and of course I was a Harvard medical student.
You, Mike, what did you think of Robin?
Oh, well, Chuck, when I first saw Robin, I was ecstatic. I mean, she had this really tight dress on, you know, the kind with the push-up bra, and the breasts were, like, popping right out, like, hitting me right in the eye, you know? And as soon as I saw him, Chuck, I said, wow, I'm in love, you know?
Sounds like you two really hit it off. So where'd you go first?
Well, first, Chuck, we went to this lovely little jewelry store where I allowed Michael to purchase me a very lovely ruby, diamond, and sapphire collection and a matching car.
Sounds nice. You give Mike anything?
Lithium.
It made me feel really ecstatic, Chuck.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we know, Michael. We know.
So, where'd you go next?
Well, then we went to the most beautiful little wedding chapel where my mother was waiting with the Justice of the Peace, and we got married! Thank you very much.
Mike, what did you think of Robin's mother?
Well, I gotta be honest, Chuck, I wasn't too ecstatic. You know, I looked at her mom, the first thing I thought was, wow, this lady really needs a hair weave. I'm really sorry, darling, but your mom's head, her forehead is just way too big. And she just has a little, too little hair to cover it. You know? But I tell you something, though. What really separates Robin from her mom is class. Because the Franks were still bothering me because I had a boiled egg, too. And I kind of cut one in the car, you know? And her mom made a big stink out of it.
Robin, we're almost out of time. Tell us about the rest of the day.
Well, Charles, after the bank, the lithium began to wear off, and Michael went a little wild.
Oh,
didn't
come
you,
on, Robin.
What happened, Mike?
Oh, well, Chuck, it was really simple. It was quite innocent. You know, I was in the parking lot picking up the car, I'm waiting on Robin and her mom, and I see this girl. She has a really nice butt. So I walk over, I go, hi, my name is Mike. And then I shove my tongue down her throat, you know? And this guy comes over and goes, hey, that's my mother. So I punch him in his butt, you know, and he started making little woman noises. It was pretty funny. He was like, oh, God, I'm bleeding internally. It was pretty funny, huh? And it reminded me of the Bonecrusher Smith fight where I hit him in his third rib and then tried to push his nose up into his brain, you know? I came up with a rib.
Whoa, Bing, Bing.
Down.
Bing. Wow, that was quite a date. Let's see who our audience picked for you. Was it Mike? John Kennedy Jr. or Donald Trump? They picked Mike by 41%. So if you two would like to go out again, ultimately Mike will pay for it.
Well, there is a lovely little fur salon I'd like to go to. Michael, I wouldn't mind.
What about you, Mike?
Robin.
Well, be sure to come back and tell us about it. Hey, Mike, maybe I'll see you on Scrabble sometime. Yeah, right.
Hey, ecstatic. E-X-K-I-T. All right?
Are you going to tell him he's wrong? Well, that's it, folks. I'm Chuck Woolery. Until next time, may all your dates be a matter of public record.
Jim Carrey, one of the Wayans brothers, of course, a good stand-in there for Robin Gibbons. And, yes, I did get a cease and desist order from an attorney representing Robin Gibbons back in the day. She was married to Mike Tyson, or she, I take it back, she had just, she had separated from Mike Tyson, and I went after her in the national media, and I called her Robin Gibbons, and like R-O-B-B-I-N apostrophe. In other words, instead of calling her name Robbing, I said Robin with an apostrophe. She got upset to the point where they had a cease and desist order sent to me. I remember showing that to Don King and him laughing one time. We had a good laugh over that one, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Want to mention the fact that UFC was rocking and rolling last night, if you want to call it that. But I thought it was one of their, probably their lowest attended pay-per-view as far as numbers were concerned. UFC 267 coming to us from Dubai. But the light heavyweight championship was on the line. Jan Błachowicz lost a submission rear naked choke in the second round, 3 minutes and 2 seconds into Glover Teixeira. Teixeira is a Brazilian stud, no doubt about that. But I thought his prime was going to come like 8 or 10 years ago, like 2012, 2013. But guess what? He is the light heavyweight champion of the UFC right now, having beaten Jan Błachowicz last night, who was a nondescript champion to begin with. So what am I trying to tell you? They need John Jones back in the UFC, and John Jones is probably not going to come back to the UFC. John Jones is probably looking for his contract to expire, I think, in February of 2022. And when his contract expires, he's going to renegotiate, I think, as a free agent. That's probably the one deal he wants to make. As far as the big fights are concerned, I mean, I want to see Francis Ngannou and John Jones. That's the one you want to see. You don't want to see John Jones and anybody else. You just don't. You want to see John Jones and Francis Ngannou battle for the heavyweight championship. I think that's the only UFC fight that I would really like to create. So anyway, Teixeira beat Blackwitz, as I mentioned. Peter Yan was the winner over Cordy Sandhagen. Cordy Sandhagen sort of had his winning streak sort of halted there. He was a good-looking fighter. Fair-skinned lad, fighting at 135 pounds. And the lightweight division, Islam Makhachev beat Dan Hooker. That was submission to Kimura in the first round. And here's a fight that I sort of predicted pretty easy. This guy, this Kamzai Chamov, is 10-0. He's now 10-0 with 10 wins. I mean, obviously 10-0, never been beaten. Anyway, he was 9-0 going in this one. He was taking on a guy by the name of, get this, Li Jingling. Now, if your name is Li Jingling, I'm sorry, man. I know you're not some old, like, country western song or something like that, but you got a name of Li Jingling, you better be one bad dude. Well, he wasn't too bad last night. He got lit up real quick, real naked choke. Of course, that came to us in the first round, 3 minutes and 16 seconds. And this guy's supposed to be like the next Khabib. Remember the name? Kazat Chamov. I'll just put it to you like that. Anyway, the UFC is what it is. Of course, a $4.2 billion entity, which was sold for a couple of years ago. The UFC, I thought, was a big overpriced pink elephant, but it is what it is, man, and people are getting off on it. I mean, the reason why I don't appreciate it is I think the fighters are being abused, both financially and physically. I mean, you know, if you're beaten, the fight's over. That's just the way it is. The fight stops. You're beaten up, the fight stops. There's no reason why you should take, and I mean, you're beaten up. There's just no doubt about it. You're all beaten up. Why should the fight continue? Why should the fight go the distance? Why should you have to, like, get 19 more stitches in your face? Why should you have to suffer a broken nose when you're already a beaten guy? But that's what Dana and his boys do. That's what Dana, the officials are down with that. There must be a wink going on between the referees. Like, wink, wink. Dana says don't stop the fights. And the doctor, too. You know, the doctor, the ringside doctor, the medical physician that's appointed to protect these guys, right? Well, the referee's supposed to protect them. That's what he's supposed to do first. That's his first job, is to protect both fighters in a fight, right? Then you've got the medical doctor. He must be looking the other way, reading the newspaper about like a wrestling referee or something like that. And then you got the athletic commission. They don't care. They just don't care. I mean, anything Dana says, go. I mean, Dana called all those shots in Florida when he got the governor DeSantis, the biggest idiot in the world, second biggest idiot in the world, to like let events go on without masks, without vaccinations, all that kind of good stuff. I mean, basically, they were like mass spreaders. Everybody knew it. But Dana got his way. Dana got to do his thing. Of course, Dana likes to call his shots. Dana is a bully, both physically and emotionally and financially. The physical type of thing, I think he tried to get it on with Tito Ortiz one time, and Tito said to him, let's box. And Dana said, okay, and then Dana didn't want to box or something like that. Anyway, Dana was an amateur fighter.